listen now for Call to Worship, a half-hour program dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by the Zion Chapel in Holland.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Like to read today from Zechariah the prophet, reading from chapter 4, beginning at verse 5. Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, Knowest thou not what these be? And he said, No, my Lord. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, Grace, grace unto it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house, and thou shalt also know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice, and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole earth. And also from Zechariah, chapter 12, reading there first from verse 7, The Lord also shall save the tents of Judah first, that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem do not magnify themselves against Judah. And then verse 9. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem, and I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. And they shall look upon me, whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him, as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him, as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. In that day there shall be a great mourning in Jerusalem, as the mourning of Hederidim in the valley of Megiddon, and the land shall mourn every family apart, and the family of the house of David apart, and the wives apart, and the family of the house of Nathan apart, and their wives apart, the family of the house of Levi apart, and their wives apart, and the family of the house of Nathan apart, and their wives apart, the family of the house of Levi apart, and their wives apart, the family of Shimei apart, and their wives apart. All the families that remain, every family apart, and their wives apart. I would also like to read from the prophet Isaiah, who spoke over 200 years before the prophet Zechariah. In the second chapter we read, the second verse, "And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more." What a different day than we have today. It shall come to pass in the last days. God has said it, and whatever he said will be fulfilled. Let's pray that if it could be God's will, it might come soon. Our Father in heaven, we pray in the name of Christ Jesus, thy Son, the one that could say before he left this earth, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." The one who thought it not robbery to be equal with thee, then took on him the form of a man, humbled himself, and went to the death of the cross. We read, "Wherefore thou hast highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow." Father, we know that it will ultimately be fulfilled on the day of judgment, but we pray and plead that there might be a great number who will even bow today, that will hear thy word as thou hast said, "Today, if you hear my voice, harden not your hearts, as in the day of provocation, as the day when Israel did in the wilderness, and thou dost leave them there in their unbelief." We pray, Father, that that may not continue today, as we see so much of it in all of the world, in every nation. Sadly, not only in nations, but in churches, in our homes, in the schools, affecting also the workplace and every aspect of our life. We pray, Father, in the name of Christ, that there might be the blessing of the gospel, that there might be many to be made to seek first thy kingdom and thy righteousness, with the promise that thou hast given, Lord Jesus, that all these things will be added, that we might know the blessing of the gospel, that we might know the power of the gospel. And as thou hast said by the pen of Paul, that if thou hast given Christ, thou would also with him freely give us all things. But, Father, we know that though thou hast given Christ in thy love to the world, the blessing is only to those who believe on him, and they are the ones that will not perish, but have life everlasting. And we pray that that may come even today to both Jew and Gentile, to all the nations of the world, and that that host that thou hast described, that will come out of every nation, every tongue, every tribe, that have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb, will today be gathered out of all of the world and added to the church, even such as should be saved. We pray for these blessings first, Father, for thy kingdom, that it may come, that the eternal things might be done. And then, Father, we also pray for the temple blessings. First of all, giving thanks for the many that we have been given, that we do not deserve. And we pray for those, Father, who do not have them as others do, as we do, and that who are in suffering, the hungry, the homeless, the war-torn lands, the sorrowing, the troubled homes, the broken homes, the widows, the widowers, the sick, the injured. We pray for all of them, Father, and we pray that thou would give these natural blessings as well, and make many, we pray, to seek first thy kingdom, that these other blessings might then be given, every one of them, through Christ. Amen. I would like to think today, especially of that word, fulfilled. Much has already been fulfilled. One of the greatest things that ever took place has been fulfilled. God has so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That is a message for the present time, for Jew and for Gentile. And even as Paul said, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. God has fulfilled many of his promises, many of those things particularly concerning Christ spoken. There's other things that are promised that have not yet been fulfilled, and that there may be a great difference of opinion in the church of how they will be fulfilled, when they will be fulfilled, to whom they will be fulfilled. But God knows. He gave the promise, and we ought to pray today for wisdom, for understanding, that we might understand the Word, especially understand the gospel for ourselves. That's what Christ did for the apostles on the day of resurrection. He opened their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures, and then he gave them the Scriptures, particularly those pertaining to the gospel, which is Christ dying for our sin according to the Scripture. Listen as he spoke some of that word to them. Thus it is written, thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. That has taken place. Christ has been born. Yes, born in Bethlehem, born of the lineage of David, born as Isaiah said he would, from the Virgin Mary, born in the lineage of David and the city of David, born as Micah said he would be in that city, and all fulfilled what Isaiah said of him, what his names would be called, what he would do as the suffering servant, as we can read in Isaiah 53, all has been done. But it has not been done in the lives of many people. The blessing of it. And that is yet to be fulfilled. As we read, even from the mouth of Christ, spoken before he was born. How can it be? It can be. Because what's impossible with man is possible with God. Paul wrote of the Lord Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yesterday before he was born, on the day he was born, on the days he lived here on earth, called the last days, and God spoke to us in the last days by his Son. And then after he left this earth, he said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. All of that is true. David could say of Christ, I see the Lord on my right hand, and I shall not be moved. The Lord Jesus could say of Abraham, Abraham saw my day and was glad. All the oneness of it. But what has been fulfilled for Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Samuel, Isaiah, has not yet been fulfilled for many today. Many today, sadly, of both Jew and Gentile. Yes, those words we read I will pour upon the house of David, upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and supplication. What a promise. What a promise. What a promise. I will pour. The Lord Jesus said it from heaven before he came down to earth, before it was fulfilled physically, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. In God's mind, it was already fulfilled spiritually. He was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He was there in type and promise. Now he has been here. He has returned to heaven. He's seated on the right hand of the Father. And from there, I believe, he will do this which is described. Some would believe he will come down here physically and reign on earth and then rule over the world physically. That's possible. There's a difference of opinion in the church on how all this will take place. Some think of it only figuratively. Some think it of being fulfilled through the preaching of the gospel and the blessing of the gospel, doing what Christ said here, I will pour the spirit of grace and supplication. That very same grace is what Paul spoke of, as we have been considering in the last couple of weeks, when Paul could say to the church at Ephesus, the elders at Ephesus, he said, I have received the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Paul testified of it. God made it effectual. Made it effectual here at Ephesus, to whom he is now speaking. Made it effectual at Thessalonica, when Paul could write to them later and say, we came not in word only, but in power. 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 Power from heaven down to men's hearts. We came not in word only, but in power with the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. That declared that mighty act of grace which began before the foundation of the world. Paul could say, knowing your election. Yes, that's how Paul knew their election. When the word came to them in power. Like what others, their hearts were opened. Like what others, on the day of Pentecost, they were pricked in the heart to such an extent they couldn't refuse it. Somebody had, as little children, say, what must we do? We'll listen. After Peter told them, those that gladly received the word were baptized. Those were the same people that before had refused Christ. And there are many today who are refusing him. Some literally because they believe the Messiah has not yet come. Some for other reasons that may to some extent believe in him historically, but do not know their need of him, may not believe in him as the scriptures teach us of him and of the gospel. Someone only take it figuratively that he came here as a good teacher, that he came here. The resurrection is simply a type, like the spirit of people that have died. Their spirit is with us. No, Christ rose literally and then ascended literally. Men, women, and children, about 500, that saw him alive, and a great number saw him go up into heaven, heard the angels say, why look you up to heaven? This same Jesus will come again in like manner, and he's going to come. Going to come. But we pray that he may come first and do as we have read. I will pour the spirit of grace and supplication. Here it's particularly for Jerusalem. The city that, for the most part, does not believe that the Messiah that walked the streets, that was refused in Jerusalem, was handed over to Pilate to be crucified, even though Pilate said, I find no fault in him. The Jews said, we have a law and he ought to die. The Lord Jesus told Pilate he came to bear witness to the truth. Pilate says, what is truth? The Lord Jesus is himself the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. The one who has said, if you continue in my word, you will be my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That's a message to every one of you today. And if you've begun to believe the Bible, and the more you believe it, the more you will know the continuing need of it. And if you haven't come to that point, I hope you know enough to want more. To seek with your whole heart. To find freedom. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Let's stop for a moment and pray. First of all, that I can say the truth as it will give glory to God, as you need it today. Every church that the Lord Jesus wrote to of the seven churches in Asia needed a different part of the truth. And it was all truth. But he spoke to them where they were. My hope is now that I can preach to the message that is needed by the church to revive it. The message that is needed by the world to save it. And that includes the Jews that have, for the most part, refused Christ. Refused to believe that he is the Messiah. He is the one promised to Adam. The seed of the woman will bruise the head of the serpent. And he did that. Christ said, I beheld Satan as falling from heaven like lightning. It's happened. That has been fulfilled. Christ said it while he was here on earth. I repeat again what I said a little while ago. Christ said, Abram saw my day and was glad. The day that Christ spoke it, Abram knew it was going to come. He knew that out of his seed, out of his bloodline, his descendants, Christ would be born. He believed it, and he believed that he would bless the world. In thy seed shall all the nations of the world be blessed. What a sad thing it is today that that nation to whom Christ was first promised, in those details, it was true he was promised to Adam, but then very much in detail to Abraham, repeated to Isaac, and again to Jacob, and later to others. And the prophets wrote of him. Yes, they wrote of him. Peter later wrote as well, or said, and Luke wrote it in Acts chapter 3, that the promise made to the fathers, God saying to Abram, and thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. God hath fulfilled it. Fulfilled it. Fulfilled it. In blessing every one of you, in turning you away from your iniquities. Peter could speak that to those who were gladly receiving the word. The word as Peter had preached it from Joel. Peter had preached it from David. And Peter preached it from other places, as later Paul proved from the scriptures of Moses, the scriptures of the Psalms, the scriptures of Isaiah, that Jesus was the Christ. The Jews have pierced him. Yes, it was with the sword of the Roman, but it was with the intent and desire of the Jews. We did it too. I did it with my sin. We did it together. We have together become unprofitable. One is not better than the other. We have all come short of the glory of God. We all have sinned. Sinned in disobedience. Sinned in unbelief. Sinned. The church may say, well, we know all that. How much do we know of it? How much do you know of what Christ said he would do at a later date? After he left this earth, he didn't do it yet at the time he was here. He said it before he came. He did not do it fully while he was here. He did it to some extent in promising the apostles that the Spirit would come. He did it to some extent when the Spirit did come, praying to the Father that he would send the Holy Spirit, on the day of Pentecost, he did it then, that 3,000 would mourn after him. 3,000 would believe on him. 3,000 would be baptized in his name. 3,000 men that came to commemorate Pentecost would go back to their homes and tell their children, God saved me. God gave me remission of sins through the Lord Jesus Christ, whom we refused, who wicked hands have crucified. We did it on the day of the Passover. Now on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit is convicting us. He is pouring out that Spirit of grace and supplication, as I believe, in a lesser measure at that time, those 1900 and some years ago, for only 3,000. But Jeremiah says, I will write my laws on their hearts from the least to the greatest. Yes, Zechariah is not the only one that writes and pins the name, pins the words of the Lord Jesus. Jeremiah also pinned what God said from heaven. I will write my law upon their hearts. They will know me from the least to the greatest. Isaiah said it. Said it for all nations. Said it particularly for Jerusalem, for Judah. The promise of the latter days. It will come. Some of it has come. Every word that has been written that must yet be fulfilled will be fulfilled. Oh, let's pray for it. Pray for it. Pray for it. Pray for it. That's what the early church did. And we can pray to the Lord Jesus on the right hand of the Father that he will now pour out the Spirit of grace and supplication. I know he can today. I don't know if it's his day. I don't know if it's his plan. I don't know if I will see it in my lifetime. But I know that what he has said, he will do. Let me read it to you again. I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the Spirit of grace and supplication, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him, there he goes into the second person, as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him, as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Again, Zechariah 12, verse 10. And the verses following show it will be to the house of David, the house of Nathan, the house of Shimei, the house of Levi. All the husbands and wives will all mourn apart. It will be a great mourning. And we may believe that those who mourn after Christ will rejoice in him. Please pray with us that there will be peace with God through Christ, peace in the church, peace in the home, and peace throughout the nations, all through Christ. Please pray.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord.